Well, greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Law Hour. The Law Hour is sponsored by Truth Radio Network. It's an educational service in the public interest. I'm your host, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour is heard nationally 7 days a week on Truth Radio and worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and the Gordon Law School, please go to my website. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the anti-Semitism of the book that I'm reviewing called The 6 Million Reconsidered, right after this break, so hang on. You know, with an income of $50,000, you're paying about $7,650 in Social Security tax. Well, that's if you're self-employed and you're paying 15.3%. Well, then, shouldn't you subtract the $7,650 from the $50,000 gross income and then pay your income tax on the $42,350 balance instead of paying 17% of that $50,000 a second time? But you know the IRS makes you pay 15.3% of $50,000 in Social Security tax, and then they make you pay an additional 17% of that same $50,000 in income tax. And that means that you're paying 17% of $7,650 twice. And that little bookkeeping trick steals an extra $1,300 from you and from everyone else that pays that tax. What would you think if Sears Pennies or your credit card company charged you twice, like Social Security and the IRS does? I just thought you'd think that was just real special. Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call me at 417-273-4967 and be sure to ask for my free general law CD package at the same time. That's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. Remember, it's entertaining, educational, informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. Tax and status is available on compact disc for home education. If you're online, go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we took a look here last time at anti-Semitism. If you say anything negative about Israel or about Jews in general, you're branded. You're called an anti-Semite, a hate monger. In fact, laws have been enacted in Canada and some other countries, Germany, and probably three or four others, in which they want to charge you with a crime for exercising free speech. I say that sucks. But then, you know, don't let me get in the way of the happiness and success of people that don't care about their right to free speech. But the reason that I wanted to bring that to your attention is to set the stage for what comes next. Because I'm reviewing a book here which is entitled The 6 Million Reconsidered. And this is called Revisionist History. Revisionist History. I guess the same thing was going on. It was revisionist history when Michelangelo and Leonardo and Galileo and, you know, these early Catholics, you know, were taking a look at the flat earth theory and the sun revolves around the earth and various historical as well as astronomical and mathematical formulas, you know, that went on. And the official jargon of the church at the time, the official jargon of religion, whether it's Muslim religion and their official jargon, or it's Jewish religion and their official jargon, or Christian religion and the official jargon of officialdom. You know, they'll tell you this is what God believes, and if you don't believe it, you're a heretic and we want to kill you. Well, the same thing is going on today. This is the 21st century, and it's worse today than it's been in the last 500 or 1,000 years. You know, the Catholics were out here burning people to death in barns, and the Muslims are out here creating jihads. And the Christians, you know, and the Muslims are at it. And then the Jews, they've got their little piece of the action. And this book is a piece of yellow journalism, and I'm sorry to see that because it's filled with dynamite information about Jews, Jewish religion, and all the skeletons buried in the Jewish closet. But the reason I call it yellow journalism is because it's entitled The 6 Million Reconsidered. Is the Nazi Holocaust story a Zionist propaganda ploy? And I expected to see chapters in here with the plans for the Auschwitz crematoriums and the gas chambers. I expected to see eyewitness accounts that would tell me that, no, it wasn't 6 million, it was 600,000. Or, no, these weren't crematoriums, these were something else. Or, no, this wasn't a gas chamber, this was a delousing chamber. And while there's references that would lead me to believe that that's the conclusion that I'm supposed to believe, they don't have any names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, or evidence. Not one in the whole book. Boy, am I let down. Boy, am I disappointed. I thought these guys were going to give me the lowdown on Judaism and these dirty lowdown Jews, and I didn't get that out of this book. And that's why I said the book is yellow journalism, and I'm going to show you why. Now, I'm not here to defend Jews and Judaism, so don't turn the radio off just yet. I'm after them. But I want to be after them on the right grounds. I don't like yellow journalism, and I don't like lies. I think that there is enough out there, if we just stick with the truth, that we can hang them against the wall, but don't you think we should use the truth rather than innuendo? And that's why I said last night, don't write me an email or a letter now and call me an anti-Semite. I want you to produce witnesses, evidence, and testimony. I want some cross-examination here. I want some facts. I don't want yellow journalism. Now, here's the table of contents. Now, I read to you the foreword, told you what Mark Twain had to say about Jews, and then we covered the anti-Semite smear. That was chapter 1. And then we have the next chapter. It's called Zion's Own 6 Million Plan. You see, that chapter is mislabeled because they're trying to tell me that they're going to explain to me how the Jews have lied to me about the 6 million killed in World War II. And this chapter tells us about what the Jews plan to do to the Christians. Well, okay, that's a good chapter, but I think the book should have been entitled What the Jews Plan to Do to the Christians. I don't think it should be titled The 6 Million Reconsidered. That's a misnomer. Next chapter, it says Breaking All Vows, and that's a great chapter, too. It's got a lot of facts and figures, and I don't doubt that the facts and figures are all true, but it doesn't have anything to do with the 6 million Jews being killed in Nazi concentration camps. It doesn't prove that they were. It doesn't prove that they weren't. In fact, it has to do with the Kol Nidre oath and various other oaths. And I'm sitting here saying, well, that oaths is a valuable, valuable piece of information. But then shouldn't the book have been entitled False Jewish Oath and Other Rites? And then there was the Tsarist Pogrom Myth. Well, that might have been a good title for the book, but there's nothing in that chapter entitled The Tsarist Pogrom Myth that has anything to do with the 6 million Jews who were gassed in Nazi concentration camps. And then there's the Jews and organized crime, and boy, is that an expose. I thought all of the mafia dons were Italian. Come to find out that the biggest criminals in America are Jewish. Like Meyer Lansky. Okay, then the name of the book should have been called Jews and Organized Crime. But that chapter doesn't have anything to do with the 6 million who were exterminated in Nazi Europe. And the controversy that I said I wanted to take up was the Jews say 6 million Jews were exterminated by the Nazis. It was a Holocaust. And they showed us the pictures, and they gave us the names and the dates and the times and the places and the facts and the witnesses and the evidence and all the rest. We've been watching it for 60 years, and along come the revisionists. And this is a group of revisionists, and they announced themselves as being revisionists, and it says, we want to take a look at the 6 million killed. We think it's a hoax. We think the Jews put it on. But identifying Jews and organized crime doesn't get the job done. And then one who survived. They took a chapter and they said, here's a guy that survived. And they ridicule and they impugn him and they say, well, there's just one witness here. And I'm saying, well, that's true. But there were hundreds and thousands of witnesses that have testified over the years. And some of them are probably liars. Some of them probably told 75% of the truth and 25% was lies. Some of them, maybe it was 50-50. Some of them told the truth as best they knew it. Some of them explained the various and sundry things that happened to them, and the writer maybe embellished it or something like that. And then they took on the Anne Frank diary and exposed it as being a hoax. Well, I don't think they kind of exposed it as being a hoax, but they alluded to the fact that it was a hoax and that it was false and that it was ghost written, and there's a scandal around it. But again, Anne Frank is not the proof that the Nazis did not kill 6 million Jews. And then some makers of the myth, and then talked about the Bible and Esther and Mordecai, and they ridiculed and impugned that, ridiculed and impugned Moses, ridiculed and impugned the entire Old Testament of the Bible. But again, that may be good scholarship with the Bible, but it doesn't do anything for the case at hand. And the case at hand, did the Germans kill 6 million or not? And they failed totally to make their case in that chapter. Then they have Jews and communism. Boy, is that an expose. It's a wonderful chapter. Has a lot of facts and figures in it. Identifies a lot of Jews being communists and vice versa. A lot of Jews in Russia. A lot of communists in Russia. A lot of Jewish communists in Russia and on our side. But it doesn't do anything to make the case against Hitler and the Nazis and the 6 million. Now, if William Randolph Hearst were here today and he had written a story, a book like this, we would call that yellow journalism. And Hearst was the progenitor of that concept. Sensationalize it. Put a headline on there and then put a lot of words in there and inflame people's emotions. Get them real excited. Because that's what sells newspapers. But that doesn't necessarily convey the truth. It doesn't necessarily convey the facts. And so they take some truth, and they take some facts, and then they mix it with some lies, and then they mix it with some error, and then they bundle it all up, and they put a neat cover on here, and they tell us, the 6 million re-examined. Now, let me take you back in history a little bit here. Let's take a look here at Zion's own 6 million plans. Let me read to you a piece of the chapter. Although it may be news to the trusting millions whose notions of history are limited to catchwords and cliches of the mass media and mass education, the Jewish persecution did not begin with the supposed gas chambers of Auschwitz in 1942, nor did the Zionist rape of Palestine suddenly materialize out of the busy brain of Chaim Weizmann in 1948. Claims of terrible oppressions are as old as the special brand of religious literature that is cherished by Zionist Jews. Remember the Egyptian and Babylonian captivities, among many other insults and injuries? This reaches its highest form in the strange and little-known books called the Talmud and the Kabbalah, which are virtually the objects of worship in Judaism. But at the same time, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Law Hour. I'm your host, George Gordon. Now, The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest sponsored by Truth Radio Network. And all of these law or programs are archived for your listening convenience on the internet at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. You know, a $10 pizza has a 38% tax on it, and a Budweiser six-pack has a 43% tax, and a fifth of Jack Daniels is taxed 72%. Now, governments tax us all, and they tax anything that wiggles, moves, or squirms. But what is it that government is doing to produce, prepare, or deliver, for which the government gets paid 38% for a pizza, 43% for a beer, or 72% for a drink? Does the pizza parlor make a 38% profit on a pizza that they buy the ingredients to make, prepare, cook, serve, and pay rent on the store that you sit in to eat it? Why does the government get paid more in tax than the people who actually produce, prepare, and deliver the goods and services that you and I buy? Well, for more information about tax and status, why don't you call me at 417-273-4967 and be sure to ask for my free General Law CD package. Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. It's entertaining, educational, informative, and it's free. Tax and Status is a school which is available on compact disc with all of the paperwork to go with it for home education. So if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org, click onto the email machine, and send me an email request for your free General Law CD package. Or you can call me direct at 417-273-4967, either or. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. 273-4967. All right, we're talking about this thing of anti-Semitism, the 6 million reconsidered, the concept of revisionist history. I already told you what I thought about stifling free speech. But in the opposite side of stifling free speech is the duty for the guy exercising his right to free speech to tell the truth, isn't it? I mean, I'm not opposed to attacking George Bush, but I'm opposed to lying about George Bush. There isn't any need to lie about him. He's already done plenty if you just come out and tell the truth. The same thing is true with Catholics, Protestants. You know, there's a lot of dirty linen people's closets. I mean, you can go to the dirty linen and you can get it out. You really don't need to spend any time lying about Jews or Catholics or Christians or Muslims. There's enough dirty linen there, boys and girls, that we can hang them all out to dry. That's my point. I'm opposed to lying about people. It ain't necessary. There's an old adage, you know, that says the guy'd lie when the truth would serve his purpose better. I contend that telling the truth will serve our purpose better. Don't lie. All right. Now, going on, they go on to point out, and they're not lying here. When we get to some of these lies and distortions, I'm going to identify them. But at the same time as these books purvey a sad tale of woe at the oppressions of the ancient Jews, they also trumpet brazen imperialism and hatred for other people. You see, the non-Zionist Rabbi Elmer Berger, in his Partisan History of Judaism, repeatedly condemns the Talmud and the Torah as outpourings of nationalist fanaticism. Now, the Talmud is the Jewish book of the law, and the Torah is the Mosaic law. And so here's this Zionist rabbi, Elmer Berger. He condemns both the Talmud and the Mosaic law as outpourings of national fanaticism. More important, he quite correctly identifies the books of Moses as the source of modern Zionism. Well, I don't think that's true. I think that's a lie. I think that the source of modern Zionism is the Talmud, and that the books of Moses is a historical and a legal account of the God of creation, El Shaddai. But they go on to say that even the devoutest Christian, if he reads the Bible carefully can discover countless declarations that his chosen people means to accomplish in the world. Now, I'm going to underline this word chosen people over here because the authors of this book are identifying the Jews as being the chosen people. I deny that. I dissent. That's patently false. I'll tell you why. I'm going to go through a genealogy here in a little bit, and we'll take that subject up probably next time. But I'm going to show you, boys and girls, that the Jews, even if the Jews are in fact the literal descendants of Judah, the world's first Jew, they only represent 1/12 of the family. That's all, just 1/12 of them, albeit the largest single tribe. I can show you right from the scripture, the historical documentation. We'll cover that in a little bit. But they go on to cite some scriptures. Now, they're talking about national fanaticism and that it comes from the Bible. Now, here's Deuteronomy 7, verse 16. Here's what God said. And you shall consume, eat the spoils, according to the Jewish Encyclopedia, of all the peoples which the Eternal your God shall deliver unto you. Thine eye shall have no pity on them. And then in Psalm 110, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. The Eternal at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies, and he shall wound the head over many countries. Psalm 110. And then the Bible goes on to say, come near, you nations, to hear and hearken, you people, and let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world and all the things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Eternal is upon all nations, and his fury upon all of their armies. And he has utterly destroyed them, and he has delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain shall also be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted in their blood. For it is the year of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. That's a prophecy from Isaiah 34. Pretty bloody. It's genocidal. Genocidal. And when God destroyed the Egyptian army in the Red Sea, that was an act of genocide. He killed 450,000 people that afternoon. And when he killed all the firstborn of Egypt, you know, that's another genocidal, homicidal maniac, God Almighty, killing all those people. But you know, there's a legal thread that runs through that. And this God claims that he owns this earth, he owns the universe, he created it all, and it belongs to him. Now, I happen to have a piece of ground here, and I happen to have a few cows. And when I go down and kill one of my cows, I have a right to do that. But God help you if you go down and kill one of my cows. We have laws against that. You don't have any right to come in here and kill one of my cows, but I can kill them all day long. And that's precisely the order of law that God has set down. He owns you, and he'll terminate your life anytime he wants. First of all, you don't have anything to say about it, and you can't stop it anyway. And secondly, he owns you, and you're a chattel property. So if he wants to terminate you, he's got a right to do that. And that's just the way that game is played. Now, there are dozens more. You know, the Old Testament is replete. Now, I'm reading again. I'm citing here from the book. There are dozens more. And he's right. I can cite you chapters and chapters and chapters of statements that just like that, even bloodier. The Old Testament is replete with this sort of thing, particularly the book of Joshua, which is a frightful chronicle of one mass murder heaped upon another. Now, that's a lie. Those are not mass murders. Those are executions. And God tells us plainly that we did not enter the promised land because of our righteousness. He said the people that are in there are wicked and evil, and I'm going to destroy them, and I'm going to use you to destroy them. And he tells us that story. It's in Exodus 34. I'm going to break in here. These guys get me excited. Exodus 34. As old Mark Twain used to say, there are lies, damn lies, and statistics. And these guys are damn liars. They ought to know better. If you've got a Bible, flip over to Exodus 34, verses 10 through 17. And God says, and he said, behold, I make a covenant before all of your people, and I will do marvels such as have not been done in all of the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which you are shall see the work of the Eternal, because it's a terrible thing that I will do with you. He says, I'm going to use you people. We're going to go in here, and we're going to kick butt like it's never been done on this planet before. There's going to be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. That's execution of judgment, boys and girls. And he said plainly, these people are wicked and evil, and I'm driving them out, and I'm going to put you in their place. Then he made one more statement to our people, and he said, now you're going in here to take over these people's land. I'm going to send you in here to Virginia, Ohio, Illinois, Iowa, and we're going to throw out these pagan nations before you. But he said, if you do after their works, if you pollute this land the way they have, you will not prolong your days in the land, but I will destroy you from off that land also. And here we are, boys and girls, getting ready for the great tribulation when we're just about to be destroyed. Don't get mad at God now. We had a duty to specific performance under the law and didn't do it. Going on, he gets even worse. He says, observe thou that which I command you this day. Behold, I drive out before you the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, Perizzite, Hivite, and the Jebusite. In modern times, it was the Arapaho and the Navajo and the Apaches. I'm driving them out. Now take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant. Don't you make any treaties, covenants, or contracts with the inhabitants of the land where you go, lest it be for a snare in the midst of you. And we made 374 treaties with these 376 Indian tribes. Two tribes wouldn't sign. But you shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves, for you shall worship no other god, for the Eternal, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous god, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice after their gods, and one call you, and you eat of his sacrifice. And you take of their daughters unto your sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make your sons go a-whoring after their gods. You shall make you no molten gods. So there's a prohibition there against marrying these people. Now, with that out of the way, I thought I'd correct the record there. Now, it could well be that these people here in the book called The 6 Million Reconsidered are telling the truth and God lied. I'll leave that for you to decide. I didn't tell you who to believe. I just wanted to tell you that there's another side to the story, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob said, that's not true. That's not mass murder. That's execution. Now, we execute murderers in this country, and when you've got criminals occupying your real estate and you want to drive them out, which is what God was doing with the Amorites and the Hittites, that's not